Amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. What a blessing it's been just being in church tonight. All day long, it's just been something as we come and understanding the birth of Christ is a celebration. Yes. Celebrating life, celebrating God, God's love for humanity, that God Himself came and placed Himself in human flesh for us. What a blessing it is when you understand the story of Jesus Christ. And when He came to be the Savior. He came to give us an example of Christianity. If there's ever a doubt in what a Christian ought to be like, you have to look at Christ. It's impossible to be a Christian, the Christian God wants you to be, unless you know what Christ was like, because that's what true Christianity is all about, being Christ-like. And He came to give us an example, but then He also established His church. He established the New Testament church that has been going strong for over 2,000 years now. And He came to give us the full revelation of God's Word. And after His coming, we had the full revelation as the apostles continued to speak the very words of God during the apostolic age. And they finally, at the end of the apostolic age, we had it written down. And it's been written down ever since, and God has preserved it so that there's no excuse for not knowing who God is, no excuse for not knowing His will for our lives. And we have it to go by. And the church has the authority in the Bible to look to. The true church is not under the authority of a man, not under the authority of a convention, not under the authority of a government. The true church is under the authority of God's Word. And that's why every time you come to a true church, a true Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, you're going to hear the Word of God being presented. Before He would go to the cross, there was something that He did. He established two ordinances for His church. And the one that we're looking at tonight is the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And before He would ascend, He wanted to make sure that they would understand what this Lord's Supper was. And then during the apostolic age, as Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, then he presented chapter 11 of the book of 1 Corinthians to the church at Corinth so that they would understand this. And this is what we go by even today. So if you'll stand with me, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, this is the Apostle Paul presenting to the church at Corinth. That's which Jesus established for His church as an ordinance of communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to start here with verse 23. The Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." Paul received it from Jesus Christ, his Lord. Now he's delivering it to this church that so desperately needed a proper understanding of communion. "That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before You tonight, what a blessed day it's been in the Lord's house, especially as this is the day before we have placed on our Christian calendar a date to acknowledge the birth of Jesus Christ. And, oh, Lord, what a hallelujah time it's been. And Thank you for all that we have received in the music and congregational singing. And now tonight, as we look to this message, this passage of Scripture, I believe it's a fitting message for us tonight to remember not only His birth, but to remember what we are to continue to do until He returns for His church. So I pray that you would just give each one here that ear to hear exactly what you have for them individually. Empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As we study the life of Christ, and then we'll go back into Matthew chapter 26, where he actually presented this to the church, to his apostles. And then we find here in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, as we just read this, there's no doubt this is God's will. It's God's will, and there are blessings and benefits to be gained from accomplishing God's will. Now, that's in any area of our life. If it's God's will, if you will submit yourself to God's will, there are blessings and benefits in store from an almighty God to us. It's always good to understand God's will, and as soon as you understand it, apply it to your life. As a church, this is something that we need to do as a local called-out assembly of believers. Once we understand this is God's will, then we need to submit ourselves to it. As we submit ourselves to it, we know that there are blessings and benefits to be gained from this communion. The first thing as we look to here, I'm going to look at four different things tonight. I'm not going to be long because this is something that we're going to observe even tonight. But first of all, in verse 24 and verse 25, the Bible says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now, before he ever went to the cross, he initiated this Lord's Supper, this communion. Okay, it was to be an ordinance. The bread that we'll eat even tonight as we partake of this does not turn into the body of Christ. It represents the body of Christ. He had not even sacrificed his body on the cross when he instituted the Lord's Supper. And as he gave that to them, it was to represent. They was to do this in remembrance of that body that he sacrificed for them. And the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he supped, saying, "This is the cup. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." It does not turn into the blood of Jesus Christ, but it is symbolic and it represents the blood of Jesus Christ. And as we partake of this, it reminds us of the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. So it is, first of all, to serve as a reminder of his great love and sacrifice for us. See, we are able to love God because the Bible says in 1 John 4:19 that he first loved us. Such remembrance of this ought to stir our love and devotion to him. When we partake of the Lord's Supper and we take of the body, this bread, unleavened bread, and we are reminded of what he did for us out of love. And you focus and picture him on the cross and you understand that it should have been you on that cross. Because he was paying a sin debt. He was paying a debt that we owe. He was dying on that cross and he died on that cross so that I would not have to. He sacrificed his body for me. And once I understand that, and I understand that he first loved me and he's proved that love, there is no doubt that he loved me because he laid his life down for me. And as we remember that, it ought to spark a love and devotion to him. And we partake of that bread, we ought to think in our mind, "Thank you, Lord God, for sacrificing and revealing your love for me. Now I help me to show my love for you. Help me to live the life that is pleasing to you. Help me to do that which you would have me to do in my life." Every time we partake of the Lord's Supper and we remember the body, it represents his love and sacrifice. It ought to do something for us. Yeah. We drink of that fruit of the vine. And that's what it was. It was the fresh fruit of the vine. But it was symbolic of his blood. When you take that little sip of that fruit of the vine, but remembering, that represented the blood, holy, precious sinless blood of the Lamb. That'll do something for us. When you take of that and you realize He, God, shed holy, precious blood on the cross for me. What love, what great love. It ought to stimulate our love for Him. Reminder of His great love and sacrifice. The second thing we look at here, verse 17 and 18. We didn't read this, but if you read this entire chapter, you find that this church at Corinth was in trouble. There was a lot of things going on. That church was not Christian. And Paul's writing to them, and he is presenting some things that he knew that was taking place in this church. And in verse 17 and 18, the Bible says this, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you become, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse." You're not coming together in this communion as God wants you to. He said, "For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there is divisions among you. And I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you." See, this was a church that was divided. Can I tell you what? As born-again believers, we have a lot of battles in this world. We have temptations every day. Satan is going to try to hinder you as a Christian more than anything else on planet Earth. He's going to, first of all, keep you lost if he can. He's going to blind your eyes to the fact that you're lost in need of a Savior. If he loses that battle, if you do see your need for salvation and you get saved, then Satan is going to work on you to try to render you useless for the cause of Christ. Because Satan knows God's plan. Satan knows that Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary's cross for the whole world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And once he loses that battle to blind you to the gospel of Jesus Christ, then he's going to work on you as much as he can to keep you useless. Because he knows that if you got saved and God keeps you here on this earth, he has a purpose and a plan for your life. And that's where the blessings are. No, I'm living in the will of God, accomplishing what God has for me to accomplish. There is great blessings. There is a peace that passeth understanding in that. There is the joy, and it's my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And if he gets me out of the will of God, I lose that. And more than that, I lose my testimony. And if I lose my testimony, I have nothing to offer. Wow. But so this church was not unified. Verse 26, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. "For as often as ye eat this bread," now the Lord's Supper, it doesn't say how often, it just says as often. I believe that's because that's up to the individual local church on how often they have the communion. "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." He goes on down verse 29, says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." I know one thing. I do not want to eat and participate of communion unworthily. This is what Paul has given to them. If they are against each other, if they are working against each other in the church, he says, you are unworthy to take the Lord's Supper. If you're not in your heart to have a desire to serve God and be in His will, you're not worthy. The only way for them to get worthy is to forgive one another. The only way for them to be worthy is to get back to loving one another. The only way for them to be worthy is to get back to working together to accomplish what God has you there in that church to accomplish. I love that. It will bring unity to the church. The blessings and the benefits of having of observing the Lord's Supper in the church, as it got Jesus Christ established it, will bring unity into the church. And the church needs to be unified. We battle all these things outside the church. When we come into the church, it needs to be our place of refuge. A place where we can come and just worship God. I hate it. Hear all these problems in churches around the country and around the world. And you think, how can you have church when you have all that turmoil inside? God's plan is not for us to have turmoil. God's plan is not for us to be divisive. God's plan is for us to come together in unity. And the way we are able to come together in unity is we are unified through Christ. And we all have the same marching orders. We all have the same doctrine. It's a doctrine of Christ that we adhere to and follow after. When you do it right, it'll cause you to get back to loving one another. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hated his brother, let me tell you, unworthy. Unworthy. And you better look at what the Bible says will happen to those who partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily. Hated his brothers in darkness and even unto now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. He's worthy. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. Think you can be right with God and hate your brother? Can't be right with God and hate your brother. So the answer is, well, I just won't have communion. No, the answer is get your heart right with God. The answer is to help God to allow you, because he forgave you. How can you sit there and understand what he did for you on the cross of Calvary? He forgave you and cleansed you of your sins, and you will not forgive somebody else? No, it helps bring us back to where we need to be. Humbled before our Lord and say, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. How can I not forgive others? Thank you for loving me. How can I not love others? You can forgive the unforgivable and you can love the unlovable simply through Jesus Christ. You see, it'll bring unity to the church if we allow it to. The third thing I want to look at tonight, verse 28. Go back with me to our text. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. Here again, but let a man examine himself. And then so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Let a man examine himself. There is to be a self-examination. Can I tell you what? That's wisdom to check ourselves. Some have to do it more than others, amen. But all of us need to do it periodically. It'll check our thinking. Am I thinking right? Am I thinking right toward my God? Am I thinking right toward my spouse? Am I thinking right toward my family? Am I thinking right toward my church? You never know when Satan gets your thinking turned. Got to check our thinking. Let a man examine himself. Back in Matthew chapter 26, look there with me. This is when Jesus established it. Judas was still there. Judas should have been checking his thinking a long time ago. What opportunities Judas had what privileges Judas had walking with the Creator God, being part of the 12 chosen apostles. But his thinking was wrong from day one. Matthew chapter 26, look at verse 17. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? The Passover, Old Testament, it was symbolic of the blood of Christ and all that would take place in connecting that to communion, or remembrance. And he said, Go into the city to such a man and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand, and I will keep the Passover at the house of my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. One of you has wrong thinking. One of you have been blinded. And they were exceeding sorrowful. And again, every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? I love that. Because they were all checking their thinking. They were all looking inside of themselves. And the only other one that can truly see inside of you, that knows what's going on in your mind and knows what's going on in your heart, is Almighty God. He already knew. He wanted them to check their own thinking. Judas at that time, if he would have checked his thinking, he would have known that he was not following Jesus as being the Messiah, as being the Savior. And he possibly would have repented and gotten saved right then and there. Jesus gave all of them this opportunity and is connected with communion. Let a man examine himself. We ought to check our thinking more often than that, but especially during communion. Better make sure that what's going on inside of your mind and what's going on inside of your heart is the will of God. Yeah. Lord, is it I? And then lastly, back in our text, verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do the show the Lord's death. Then those last three words, till he come. The blessing and the benefits to be gained is as we observe the Lord's Supper, it's a reminder that is going to return for his church. The rapture is imminent. It's going to happen. This win is in the Lord's hands. We just got to keep our thinking right until it does happen. We got to keep our hearts right. We got to keep following the example of Christ. We have to keep supporting his church. We have to be obedient concerning the assembling of ourselves together and serving him, accomplishing what he has a church here to accomplish for as long as the church remains. But as we do this, every time we assemble ourselves together, we can leave the church expecting his soon return. Amen. Something about that. Just knowing he's coming back. Like I said before, it might be the only time that you don't say, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. The truth of it is, when he comes back, it'll far exceed even our greatest thoughts of marriage. Yeah. His return and the rapture of the church. Go back with me and we'll close right here in Matthew chapter 26. Because we'll look at this. In verse 29, he says this. And he taught this before he ever went to the cross. He said, But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, that's what it was, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. We need to be mindful of that. Communion helps us to be mindful of the soon return of our Lord and Savior. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, can I tell you, Satan has blinded you to the greatest need that you have and to that thing that can bring you the most joy and blessing. If you're not saved tonight, come to this altar and let somebody take a Bible and tell you and show you exactly what God says you must do to be saved. Born again believer, examine yourself. Is your thinking what it ought to be? If not, come here tonight and say, God, help me to change my thinking. Is your heart what it ought to be? If not, won't you come to this altar and say, God, help me to change my heart. On a regular basis, I ask God to fill my mind with His thoughts, fill my heart with His feelings. His mind can lead me astray. His will lead me in the paths of righteousness. No better time than to get that straightened out right here and right now, so that you might prepare yourself to partake of the Lord's Supper. Father, we bow before you tonight. We love you and thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for the truth of your word and this ordinance that you've established for us as a local New Testament church. Pray that you'd bless in this invitation to help get the people's hearts and minds where they need to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.